You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A devastating earthquake in southern Turkey and northern Syria early this week has left thousands dead and hundreds of thousands displaced. The death toll passed 20,000 this morning and is expected to rise even further. Search and rescue efforts and relief organizations from around the world are pouring into the two countries to look for survivors and help displaced peoples. I spoke to Carlos Calderon from Oxfam Aotearoa about the situation on the ground and what New Zealanders can do to help. Do you have teams on the ground in Turkey and Syria at the moment?
Yes, we have long-standing offices and partnerships working in both countries. Oxfam office in Turkey is working pretty much in the area. As you can see, there are almost 3.5 million Syrian refugees in Turkey, in the same area affected by the disaster, unfortunately. We are in Turkey working with mostly women organizations, trying to make sure that there is enough protection for people affected by the Syrian crisis. At the same time, in Syria, we are working with local partners, basically in several parts of the country and also in the Aleppo area.
What are they seeing on the ground in Syria and Turkey?
Well, despite the impact of the disaster is huge and affecting these both countries, how is damaging and impacting is different. In Syria, we see that 12 years of conflict has damaged infrastructure dramatically, and first response services are lacking or overwhelmed. Because of that, there is a more limitations to access the information. So we know that there is a large number of buildings damaged and then destroyed. So rescuing and efforts are far more complicated in Syria. But because of the scale in Turkey, is where the highest numbers are being registered right now. So both countries combined at this stage, according to the last reports, are talking about 12,000 people dead. But unfortunately, we're expecting that this number would increase. So while in Syria, the situation is more related to access of humanitarian aid, in Turkey, it is the scale of the disaster.
At this stage of recording on Thursday afternoon, there are over 12,000 dead. However, as you said, it's expected to grow. What kind of estimations do you have that it might grow up to?
It is very difficult to do an estimation, but if we think, for example, in previous disasters in Turkey, in 1999, an earthquake left 17,000 people dead, unfortunately. So we are hoping that this number will not be reached. But yes, we are prepared for the worst.
According to your numbers, how many people has this earthquake displaced in both Turkey and Syria?
Yeah, it is difficult to get information at this stage. Pretty much because all the responding mechanisms in the country, first responders and INGOs and UN agencies, are working on the ground in the relief efforts. But we can say that at this stage there are around 2.5 million that have been exposed to the earthquake. That means that they were in the area and they are suffering the more than 200 aftershocks. No, we know that some of them above 6 and 1 in the 7.5 magnitude. So this is the complication that we are in the middle of the winter. In Turkey, that the temperature it is dropping down to -5 degrees at some point, and that families are not willing to return to their homes. Shelter, blankets, and food items, warm food, and access to safe water is among the most important priorities, together with the rescue efforts, of course.
You just mentioned that millions have been impacted by the earthquake in Syria and Turkey, and already millions have been displaced by the civil war in Syria. What's going to happen to these people?
Yes, one of the situations that they are going to face is a reduction in the number of aid that they are receiving, because it's going to be diverted, or if we see in a simplistic way, is shared within their host communities as well as the refugee communities. The refugee communities, many of them were already living in very difficult conditions, in some cases even in makeshift tents, and of course, even if this that was not directly impacted by the disaster, it would be sort of a second impact once they start suffering from lack of humanitarian support. The scale is really high, and we are still getting the information to scale to identify the scale of the response.
You just talked about them living in displacement camps. Is this where they're all going to go, kind of living in makeshift accommodation?
Yes, they are going to continue living in that accommodation. It's very difficult to say that at this stage if they are going to be relocated. The most of the effort it is in Gaziantep area and surrounding cities. We are expecting not to drop the attention on the needs of these communities. OXFAM will keep working with women organizations related to the refugee people, and now these women organizations are focusing their attention as well and try to divide their efforts to be covering as much as hosting communities and refugee communities in Turkey. And yes, we are keeping the contact in Syria with our partner organizations to keep working with them.
What is most needed on the ground in Syria and Turkey right now?
It is easy to imagine that shelter and some sort of clothing, warm clothing, are among the most immediate needs. But in the coming days, people drinking unsafe water could get sick from waterborne diseases very soon. So it is important to start thinking on how to restore the water systems, the existing water systems in Turkey. And Oxfam is thinking on starting water tracking very soon in Syria, where the network water is in some cases unavailable or damaged and destroyed. So water is among our first priorities, together with shelter, and potentially food and food assistance will be what will come next in our response.
What can Kiwis do to help out?
Kiwis always characterized for their generosity. I understand that they might seem Turkey a little bit far from where we are now. So sending items is not the case. We would appreciate if they are considering sending money to organizations that are already on the ground. Organizations like Oxfam, for example, can provide immediate humanitarian aid in situations like this.
Rather than giving a random amount, are there specific things we can donate to buy on the ground? Say, how much would drinking filter cost, or warm blankets, for example?
Yes, and not at this stage. This always happens once we have a plan for the next year. We see that this is going to be a response that will go for long, unfortunately. So this will come once we have a very organized plan. At this stage, what Oxfam is doing is taking from their preposition stocks, from their warehouses, all the items that we have, and using it to provide to the people. In the coming weeks, this will go, so people will be allowed to fund a specific action, let's say in water, food, cash, or even protections to make sure that women are not left behind. But at this stage, we are appreciating any type of support that we can receive from communities, from New Zealand communities. I think in times like these, when New Zealand is also suffering on the verge of a massive flood that affected many parts of the country, is where we see what are we made of, the generosity that we've been experiencing of New Zealand people is much appreciated. The concerns that we are seeing in our supporters calling us and asking us questions about Turkey is inspiring us to continue working in areas like this. And yes, we are hoping that we are going to meet that expectation. Yes, not only my appreciation to the New Zealand people.
That was Carlos Calderon from Oxfam Aotearoa about the situation on the ground in Turkey and Syria following Monday's earthquake. To donate to relief efforts in the region, head to oxfam.org.nz or redcross.org.nz and unicef.org.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.